Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Oh, I almost said good morning, patrons.
Yeah.
I would imagine some of them are here listening to Coffee with the Sarlows.
So. Early.
Pardon?
Early.
Yeah. So let's say good morning to patrons, too. Your coffee smells so freaking good.
It's black, so it smells better than it tastes. Oh. Tastes okay. Like bean water.
Right. Okay. And I've given up coffee. So just, I've determined and like I've made the decision that I'm going to thoroughly and be in love with the smell of coffee. And that's all.
Okay.
About coffee. Because I like it with the cream and the sugar. And that's just not good for you. So I've decided I'm just going to love the smell. Let's see, mind coach.
Mind coach?
Well, you're a mind. Jesus.
Mindset.
Mindset coach.
Also health and fitness coach. I don't think what you're doing is necessarily healthy.
Oh, okay. We'll chat about that later then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so I went to Harry Potter.
Okay.
To grab names, and I have two gentlemen. So I grabbed Albus and Remus Lupin.
You're going to use the full name?
No. Oh!
Is this new?
I thought Remus Lupin was his first name.
No, Lupin's his last name. Oh, jeez. You can't imagine the amount of disappointment I feel right now.
Okay. So I'm just going to glide past that.
You thought that was one name?
Yeah.
Like with a space between it?
Yeah. You want to know why? Because I go on Google.
Like a Cindy Lou?
I type in, yeah, like Karen Ann. Like I type in. I thought it was his middle name. Because I type in Harry Potter names. And if you go on that, anybody that wants to go on that list can see that I got Albus. And then, like, I had Harry, and then I got Remus Lupin.
Mm.
And I think at least that's what I did. And this is a bad start. So I'm going to go with Albus is my client.
Albus better be a fucking rock star of a client.
Oh, he's not. And Remus, oh, this is going to be super disappointing, everybody. I can imagine all the people like, what the hell, Karen? I better go back and watch Harry Potter again so that I have a better idea of all of this. Because clearly the lady that told me to use Harry Potter names did not understand how badly I would do this.
We're just blaming everyone this morning, yeah. I hear.
No.
It's the internet's fault. It's the lady's fault. You want a mindset coach? Let's talk about accountability.
Holy shit, Coffee with the Sarlos just totally did a switch. Okay, let's get into this story. Albus is my client, and he's asking at the very beginning of the session, just really, he says to me, if I give you a name of a person, could you go open and just see what you get about it? And I said, yeah. I said, like, do you understand you could get past lives with the person? You could get a current situation, you could get future, the soul contract. Like there's quite a few things that you could get in this. And if the person's dead, you could get medium. Like, or if they have medical issues, you could get medical intuitive. Like there's such a variety of things. And he goes, oh my God, no. He said, I had no idea I could get that. And he says, and I really don't even understand what all of those words mean. He said, so I don't know what to do, he said, which I think is really fair. And I think it's a really good example for listeners to understand the nervousness of someone coming to a session mm-hmm. because they don't really understand all of the services we offer, but they might know that there's medium and then they get in and they hear the list of 9 services and they go, what the hell? Now I don't know what I want. And they can feel, I'll say discombobulated
mm-hmm.
or confused. like right at the very beginning of a session, and it can really throw them off. And I'm aware of that. So I try very hard to make that something that I can give them choices to say, hey, I can explain the services, or you can trust the idea that you wanted to go into open and that the spirit world is going to show up and try and answer your questions and meet your needs. And we might do a good job, meaning the spirit world and me, Karen, we might do a really good job and we might not.
I don't love the setup of this at all.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I don't think it's giving you or the spirit world enough credit. I don't think it's giving clients enough opportunity to take accountability for things to go well.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I just think it could be set up in such a more mature way.
Yeah.
Because I think this is also indicative of how a lot of people live their lives. Right. When you, so can I rewind for a second?
Absolutely.
If you are someone listening and you have a future session booked with Karen and you've never done this before, or you've seen another psychic medium before, right? And you just haven't seen Karen. One of the things I would recommend, in fact, no matter who you're seeing, is to sit down and ask the person, walk me through your process and tell me what my options are. I think that is the best way to sit down with a professional whose profession you don't know or do. Right? Because at that point, you're saying, you educate me as to what I'm allowed to ask for, and then I will frame my expectations around that. Right? Like, I think that is a much better situation for success. And then when we look at the fact that we have desires as human beings, which is totally fine, by the way, but our desires are not necessarily our needs.
Yes.
When the client sits down and says, go open, and you mentioned, oh, sometimes we do a good job and sometimes we don't, I don't think that's fair. Because if the spirits are showing up with an intention to meet the client's needs, that doesn't necessarily align with their wants.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they or you did not do a good job.
Right.
It means that if the client relinquished control, whether they understood that or not, when they said go open, the spirit worlds assume whatever it is the soul needs in this moment. That's a job well done, even if the client doesn't like it.
I think that's really well said, Kelly, because that's exactly how I see it, is that the guides will always give what the needs are above what their wants are or their hopes.
Yes. And I understand, again, that there might be some disappointment on a client's part, but I think if we're unsure of what the possibilities are, go in and ask that question with curiosity. The other thing too, when I was saying, I think this is how people live their lives, this is the equivalent of sitting down with another human and being like, so what do you want to talk about? But you have an agenda, hoping that they're going to bring it up first.
Yeah.
And if you have an agenda, talk about it, put it on the table, say, this is what I'd like to discuss with you. Address the issue directly. If you're just sitting there going, well, what would you like to talk about today? And then you're going to stew about the fact that the person didn't bring up your most pressing inner thought.
Yeah.
Like, this is just unfair.
Yeah. I love it. I'm glad I said all of these things so that you could coach.
Okay. Thanks.
It's fantastic. And I think it's good for me to hear, and I think it's good for everybody to hear, regardless if it's about someone coming to a session or just about other relationships in their lives, right? Where they might identify and go, oh shit, I do that to my wife all the time. Or, oh my God, I do that to my kids. And then my kids are so, they behave this way and they're frustrated with me. And then I'm mad at my kids' behavior, but I don't understand. I'm the one that started it. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to Elvis now.
Okay.
Thank you. That was awesome. Okay, so at the beginning of the session, he asks me for Remus, and Remus comes in and says, he describes the friendship between the two. He says, this is a friendship, and he said, that's it. It's just a friendship. And he said, Albus is a single person. I was married. And so he's just giving some facts at the beginning, and he says, Albus, people placed me a lot in their relationship. And he says, I can say that now. He says, I understand what it's called now. And he said, and for quite a while in the friendship, I did too. And I said, how long were you guys friends? And he goes, oh my God, decades. And for all of those decades, he says, the two of us Just like we did fun things together, but we would say things like, we've never had an argument. And he said, in reality, he goes, we both just avoided arguments. And he said, and then Albus got promotion in a job. And he said, that's when everything changed. And he goes, could you start by saying all of that to him? So I said all of that to Albus, and he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm glad he's bringing that up. He says, I've kind of suspected something about that. He says, can you ask him more about when I got that change in the job? So I said, Remus, what happened when Albus got the promotion? He says, I got really jealous. And he said, his salary increased quite a lot. And then thereafter, he kept getting more advancements in his job, and he made more and more money. Over a short period of time, he says, I think it was maybe 6 months to a year, he says he made quite a few changes in career and finances. And he said, all of a sudden, he was making more money than me. And he said, and I had always made more money than him. And he said, and I kind of realized that it made me feel more important than him, that I made more money, and that I kind of saw a status in the friendship, that I was better than him. And he says, when the change occurred in the job, it adjusted because I put value on who made more money and who had a better status in their job, even though we had different careers. And Albus really moved up in his status and moved up in his finances. And it also meant that it changed his life. Like, he started going on holidays. He bought a nicer car. He moved to a nicer home. And he said, and I didn't make those changes. And he said, I got really jealous and I started treating him badly. And he said, and badly means that I lied. He said, I told him lies. And I said, what were the lies about? And he said, well, I told lies so that things would look like I was doing better because I felt in competition. And I said, was Albus in competition with you? Not at all. He said he wasn't in the least. And he said, I took it that way because it was the way I perceived everything. And Albus didn't understand it. And I think he's starting to suspect it since I've died. And he said, because he's just looking back at the friendship with more honesty, because I'm just not in it anymore. And he's got more time because he's struggling, because he hasn't made a new friend yet. And we had spent quite a bit of our time together. So he's got alone time and he's doing a lot more thinking. And as a result of that, he's kind of questioning and going back to that. He sees that this is when some of the change started to occur. And I said, Remus, why is Albus just realizing that now? Because I'm trying to, like, what's going on and what was going on in Albus? Well, he said Albus just wanted to avoid everything. And I said, and he goes, and I knew that. I said, why did you know that? And he goes, because we had both been avoiding things in the friendship. So I knew Albus was an avoider. And at that moment, I knew that if I changed some of my behavior and I did things that were a little mean to Albus, that he would not call me out for it. And I'm like, holy shit. I'm just freaking loving how Remus's soul is just sitting in all of this beautiful integrity and honesty, where he's just saying exactly what he did, the intention that he did it with, the knowing that he did it with, because it helps me be able to say everything to Albus. So I repeat all of this to Albus. And, you know, he sits there, Kelly, and you can see the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, like, wow, this was decades of, I'll say, agreeing to avoid issues that I thought meant we had a good friendship. And Albus looks at me, and you can see that he's quite sad. And then I said, does this make sense to you? And he goes, it does. And I said, Albus, do you understand that Remus is trying to say that you both avoided, and that this is a behavior in who you are? And he's owning his own, of course. And he says, yeah, he says, I'm understanding that I do. And he says, and I can see that in different areas in my life. And I can see where I always get away with it, because especially in the last couple of years, because my job has always given me the opportunity to do that. And I've still succeeded doing it. And I thought that I was successful in friendship because Remus let me do it. So I saw that that behavior was something that actually was good in my life. And I didn't, so I didn't see any reason to address it. And he goes, now I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this and it makes sense that it's time that I do. And he said, so I'm glad that Remus is telling me this. He goes, can you just go on? I want to hear more of what Remus wants to say. So Remus goes on and he gives him little examples and says, this is how I treated you. Like I started, you know, using forms of verbal abuse. I used dismissiveness. And so literally as I go through the forms of verbal abuse and say the word, Albus will stop me and say, I think I understand dismissive, but I know what that means. I didn't know it was a form of verbal abuse. And I said, okay. So then I give him our resource, you know, Patricia Evans' book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship. And he looks at me and he goes, like mind blowing. He goes, did you just say that there is somebody who actually sat down and wrote a book about being verbally abused? And he goes, and that there's a term, verbal abuse? And I said, yeah. And he goes, what the hell is in the book? Have you read it? And I said, yeah, I read it a lot. I said, I've read it more than half a dozen times. And he goes, what? Why? And I said, because, I said, when you're raised to people please. And he goes, oh, he goes, that would be me. And he goes, so you were too. And I said, yeah. And I said, when you're raised to people please, you're raised to not question those behaviors or identify them so that other people, as a matter of fact, you're trained to avoid them. And you're trained to avoid knowing about them, going to therapy to learn about them. You're going to be discouraged by people around you who don't want you to have that kind of an education. Because as soon as you do, as soon as you start having the knowing, the knowledge, you can identify it in your own mind. It starts to not sit with you. And now you start identifying that, oh, that's that icky feeling I feel. And he goes, oh, God. Go on. And I said, you recognize the ick feeling when you're self-abusing, you're abusing another or they're abusing you. And he goes, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. He goes, so is Remus saying he abused me? And I said, yeah. But wait a minute, I've abused him. And I said, yes. He said, because you've talked about diverting. He goes, I've done that a ton of times. He goes, and I'm brutal for that at work. And he says, I use it as a way to say what I want to say and to do what I want to do. And I said, yeah. And I said, that's what Remus did, but he just kept upping it a notch constantly where the abuse intensified and you remained in the same stance of avoid. He goes, well, would it make sense, Karen, that somebody would do that to you, say in a friendship, and you would sweep it under the rug? Because he goes, let's face it, I must be king of sweeping things under the rug. And then I would go to work and I would do it to somebody else. And I said, oh, yes, you could do that. And he goes, because actually I'm mad. He says, I've only really recently realized how angry I was with Remus. And when I realized that since he's died, I just thought it was his death. I just thought I was really in a rage because he died and I was grieving. So I've been telling people that I'm angry because I'm grieving. And he goes, but underneath the grief is that I'm actually angry about the way that Remus has treated me for our whole friendship. And I said, yeah. And he goes, but you're also saying that if I read the book, that I'm going to learn that I'm also probably extremely angry with a lack of setting boundaries, a lack of addressing everything, the lack of confrontation skills. But also, you're also saying that I'm going to be mad at myself, that I've done these things to myself. And I said, yes. And he goes, okay, does that Evans lady, is that woman going to teach me how to stop and be a better person? And he said, because I haven't been able to make a friend since Remus. And he goes, and I've been wondering if the reason I can't make another friend is that nobody else will tolerate the behavior I'm doing. And he goes, and I think I'm feeling very confused right now. He says, my head feels like all in a mess as you're talking about this. And I said, yeah, I said, I bet it does. I said, I feel empathy and compassion for you. I've been in that place where you feel confusion because you haven't got the knowledge yet. You feel the confusion and you're likely to stay where you are. And you're likely looking for friends that are going to continue. Yeah, he says, I keep saying you're to everybody that I meet, you're just not a Remus. And he goes, and I say it in my head that they're just not a Remus. And he goes, so that means that I'm actually looking for somebody to keep treating me the same way so that I can keep doing the same avoidance. And I said, right.
Even though it makes you angry.
Right. And he goes, Karen, this is messed up. And I said, yeah. And he goes, but you're telling me Remus is here. So does he want to say anything else? And I said, yeah, he's trying to tell you it's messed up. He's trying to tell you you are, he was, but he's trying to own it. He's trying to take responsibility. And he goes, oh my God. He goes, this would be a first then. And I said, yeah. And he goes, is there anything else? And I said, yeah, he also wants to apologize. And he goes, okay, I don't know if I can accept that. And I said, that's okay. My job is to deliver it to you. Your job is to take it and process it the day you're ready. Oh, I don't have to do it right now. And I said, no, you certainly don't. You need time to go off and do your own processing. And then it could, and he goes, when? He goes, when will I ever be able to forgive him? And I said, maybe when you do some of the work involved in finding your own integrity. And he goes, he just looks at me and you can see he's freaking annoyed. He goes, so you're just calling me out. He says, you're just saying I have no integrity. And I said, yes. Yeah. I said, that's correct. And he goes, so wait a minute. He goes, it's not you calling me out. Like he goes, excuse me. He goes, I just said you did. And he goes, but it's Remus because I asked for Remus. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's right. And he goes, and you're channeling extra messages, but that would come from my spirit guides. So you're not actually calling me out. You're not telling me I'm a bad person. I'm going into my shame about my behavior. And now I'm sitting in my anger about Remus. And he says, I've got anger and shame. And I said, yeah. He goes, this is not a good combination. And I said, okay, what do you do? What do you do when you're in it? He goes, well, I think I want to just sort of shut this conversation down. I don't want to be in this session. And I said, that's an option. I said, that's totally an option for you to shut it down. You are welcome to. It's your money. It's your time. It's everything. Like, we're here to help you. And he goes, right. Oh, so you're not the one causing my shame. You're not trying to shame me. Alba says to me, I want to stop. He says, I want to apologize to you. Hmm. He says, I don't want to stop the session. He goes, I'm just saying I want to stop for a minute. He says, because clearly I have some freaking growing up to do. And he goes, Karen, like I'm your age. He says, I'm way too old for this shit. And he goes, and I'm really trying to get fit and I'm trying to eat better and I'm trying to live a better life and I want a friend. I don't have a partner. My friendships mean everything to me. And I'm realizing that I don't make a good partner. I don't make a good friend. And he says, I've been trying to figure it out. And he says, why I had such a long friendship for decades, which meant to me, I was a good friend. And he said, and now I'm realizing that Remus and I just were not good friends to each other and that we tolerated each other and that we used each other. And he said, and I'm angry about all of that. And he says, but he's here to apologize and acknowledge it. He says, that's better than what I was coming here for. He said, I was just trying to figure out what happened. He goes, Remus is way ahead of me. And he says, I'm glad that he is. I need that. And he goes, and I'm really grateful that you're telling me all of these things because clearly I need to get my ass in therapy. And he says, and I have refused to do therapy and I'm in my 60s. And he goes, so I'm this grown ass man, like in terms of biology. And I have picked a friendship where I didn't have to grow. I didn't have to change. And then when he died, it's only since then have I been sitting down questioning everything. But he says, trying to put all of it on Remus and not on myself. And Remus showed up to own it for himself and then to say, hey, what are you going to do with this? You're the human. You got to figure something out now. What do you want to do about it? So I'll give you a couple of resources, but you know some others. So you're smart enough, clearly. So what do you want to do with it? And he goes, so I think, he says, what I want to do for the next part of the session is thank Remus. I do appreciate the apology and the acknowledgement and all of the help. And then I want to move into the next part of the session and ask how I can move forward, which was really cool. So the next part of the session where he got, Albus gets things like the resources to understand people pleasing, confrontation skills with books like, what's his name, Kelly? Never Split the Difference.
Mm-hmm. Chris Voss.
Thank you. I'm trying to think. Hold Me Tight.
Dr. Sue Johnson.
Sue Johnson. I was going to say Susan Forward, but Susan Johnson. He gets books as resources, and he says to me at the end, okay, he says, you've given me a lot of books as resources. Do you know what I do for a living? And I said, no, Remus just said to give you the books. And I said, but truth be told, we do give a lot of books, podcasts, like, and we try to give a variety of ways that people can learn in the ways they want to learn. And he goes, I'm a professor. He says, I do a lot of research. And he says, I do medical research. And he goes, I love books. And he goes, and audible books, like books on tape. He says, this is fantastic. So at the end of the session, because this is how the session ends, he gets tools. And he says to me, I'm a big believer in the tools because it's what I'm trying to give other people in life by doing research. So he goes, at the end of this, he says, I'd like to say thanks to Remus for pointing out the relationship where it really went sideways. And that it wasn't when he died, it was years before. And just the ability for me to have something better going forward in my life, because I don't want to go through the rest of my life without relationships.
Love it. Okay, so for the people who might have been listening because they're dear followers and they like the show, but they haven't really found a parallel in this story, this is how I want to lay things out. The pain point that might have been missed in this story is not being known, not being deeply known for who you are. Because if you are in avoidance, if you are not willing to confront micro issues, macro issues, etc., if you are not willing to have direct conversations with those people in your life, you live fundamentally in a state of fear and or anxiety, because you're kind of just humming along with this anxiety of, I think they're not going to call me out, but what if they call me out? And this is what Albus experienced and Remus while he was living, right? You may be listening to this in a decade-long friendship, decades-long marriage, and think, well, I have relationships, so I don't really identify with this person. If you are an avoider, like Remus and Albus, then you are also living in a state of anxiety and fear and loneliness, because there's never an opportunity to be truly known, seen, heard, understood. If what you're doing is resigning yourself to just having no conflict. And what that means is no outer conflict, but you're in a ton of inner conflict. And it means that you're never really making connections with other people. No matter how social you are, no matter how much time you spend with other people, in the living room with your family, etc. So if you missed the point today, go back and listen. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.